My name's Nick. I'm the Associate Vicar here. It's wonderful to be with you this morning. Please keep that passage open. We're going to be looking closely at it together. And let me begin by leading us in prayer. Oh, great God and Father, we thank you and we praise you that you save us to be part of something much bigger than ourselves. We thank you and praise you that you save us and you equip us to take part in your eternal purposes for the world. Lord, speak to us now, we pray. Shape us and change us now, we pray, in your name and for your glory. Amen. I heard of an interesting article from the 70th anniversary of London being bombed repeatedly in the Blitz in 1940. And the striking feature of this article was that the vast majority of those that they surveyed that had lived through the Blitz, they ranked it as the best time in their lives. Isn't that interesting? It seems utterly bizarre that when facing sort of danger and destruction every single day, they could be so positive. And yet a whole generation of Londoners remember it as a time when they were united in making sacrifices for something bigger than themselves. They were united, serving a purpose that was greater than their own lives. And it genuinely brought them happiness, despite the struggles. We do need a greater purpose as people. We do seem to flourish when we are united, serving something that is bigger than ourselves. So let me ask you, what greater purpose does your life serve? What greater purpose do you make sacrifices to serve? See, the Bible would say the reason that we flourish when we serve greater purposes is that we were made to serve the purpose that's behind every other purpose. To serve God's purposes. Now, the book of Ephesians is all about that, how God's greater purpose, his epic cosmic plan to draw people to himself, to unite people across all sorts of different ages and races and backgrounds through Jesus Christ, drawing people together into a radical, beautiful, new community, deeply united, which displays God's love and God's wisdom to all of creation. Chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians are all about that, how when people turn to Christ, we are swept up into God's eternal plan, this new humanity expressed in the local church. Now, here, chapter 4, it switches, and it talks about what does that look like in daily life? How do we play our part in that grand overarching purpose? How do we serve that greater purpose than ourselves? And today we're just going to see three things, really, really simple. Three things we're going to see. One, Christ gives us all gifts. Two, in order to serve each other. Three, so that the body of Christ, the church, is built up. Christ gives us gifts to serve each other, so the body is built up. And this passage really, it's an invitation to you and me. It's going to ask us the question, are you playing your part? Are you taking your part in that bigger story? You'll notice that this passage really is talking to Christians. Every week here at All Saints, we're delighted. We have loads of people coming who are just looking into the Christian faith. And so if that's you today, I want to be really clear. This is not talking about how you become a Christian. This is talking about how you respond. Becoming a Christian is all about what Christ does for us. This is about how we respond to that. So if you like, this is about what would be involved, what it would mean to be involved if you were to come to Christ. But for those of us here that would call ourselves Christians, this is a reminder, this is an invitation for you and me to play our part in God's big purpose. So, first thing we're going to see, Christ gives us gifts. Look down at verse 7 with me, and I'll read again. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the universe. So, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Do you see the repeated thing there? Jesus giving. So verse 7, he gives grace. Verse 8, he gives gifts. Verse 11, he gave the apostles, prophets, teachers. Verse 12, he equips. The image there, Jesus reaches into our lives to give us gifts. Now, the big picture or image that this uses of that in verse 8 is it's quoting from the Old Testament, Psalm 68. It's the image of a victorious king handing out gifts after he's won a battle. It's not a familiar picture to us in our culture. It would have been a familiar picture in those days. But just look at verse 8 with me. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. So you have to imagine a king whose people are oppressed by enemies that are too strong for them. And he leads a great battle and defeats the enemies. And then he ascends to the throne. And in his kind of procession, triumphant procession, the enemies that were too strong for the people that he's destroyed are now led as captives in handcuffs behind him as part of his victory parade. And as he ascends to the throne, what does he do? He shares the benefits of the victory. He gives gifts. He apportions gifts to his people. It's a weird image for us. It would have been familiar in the day. But the interesting thing here is that the author says, do you realize that is what Jesus is doing? That is what Jesus is doing. It says in verse 11, he descended to the earthly regions. He came from God to us to defeat enemies that were too strong for us. The selfishness inside me, the evil outside of me, the death, three huge enemies. And he descended all the way into the grave to face those enemies for us. And the Bible says that when he rose again, it's like he's defeated, he's destroyed them. And now he ascends to the right hand of God, and he's seated at the right hand of God. This passage is inviting us to imagine that. Imagine Christ, can you see him there? At the right hand of the Father in glory as a victorious king, having achieved what we could never achieve, having defeated enemies that we could never defeat. Our sin and death. And what is he doing with his victory? What is he doing now? Well, he's giving out gifts. He's giving gifts to his people. Now, what are those gifts that Jesus gives to us? Well, he mentions in verse 11, he mentions a few. Christ gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He mentions four there, and those are all to do with teaching. But I want to say, from the rest of the New Testament, we know that the gifts that Jesus gives his people are much, much broader than this. There are five lists in the New Testament, and they're all completely different from each other, and they contain more than 20 different gifts that he gives. We're meant to think of them quite broadly, I think. Here are some. Here's just a little smattering of them. So, for example, words of wisdom, giving, administration, helping others, tongues, acts of mercy, encouragement, hospitality. Do you see that? It's really broad. One thing all the gifts have in common, they're things that we can use to serve others. So I don't think we're meant to think very narrowly of these gifts. I think we're meant to think of these gifts as anything that Jesus has given you at this stage of life that you can use to serve others. I wonder what that would be for you. Christ gives, if you're a Christian here today, Christ gives you gifts to serve others. It's quite an individual thing in verse 7. It says to each one of us, it's been given as Christ apportions it. Grace is given as Christ apportions it. It's a very individual thing. So don't bother comparing with other people. And don't bother comparing with an earlier time in your life. It's different at different stages of life, I think. But what are your gifts? Well, it's what Christ has given you to serve other people. Now, I don't have it with me, but you were handed on the way in one of those leaflets. If you're not sure what your gifts are, thanks, Steve, we've come up with something to help. We've come up with this survey, lots of different ways to serve, but also this survey you can do to try and identify what are the gifts that the risen Christ has given to you. Steve is going to say more about that in a bit. That's the first big thing. Jesus gives gifts. Now, why does he do that? Second thing we're going to see, he gives us these gifts to serve others. Have a look at verse 11 with me again. So Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, and the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service. So the body of Christ may be built up. Why does Jesus do this? Well, it's to equip people for works of service. Now, I really want you to notice the order there, okay? The pastors and teachers in verse 11, they equip the people, the congregation, verse 12, for works of service. By the way, that word service can also be translated ministry. It's the same word, ministry, because ministry is service. So do you see, the teachers equip the people to do the work of ministry. Now that's really important. I think people often misunderstand this about church. People often think of ministry or church ministry as... Oh, hang on. Is that going to go? It's very dramatic. There we go. It's okay, sorry. People often think of ministry as what the vicars or the staff team do. Ministry is what the vicars do, supported by the congregation. But look at verse 11 and 12. How is it different? Who does the works of service? It's the people. That's the wrong way. This is completely the wrong way around. Church ministry is what the people do, supported by the pastors and teachers. So what does that mean? Who are the ministers of All Saints Church? You. Yeah, it's you. Do you think of yourself that way? You are the ministers of All Saints Church. It's the congregation that do the ministry, supported by the staff. We're just the staff. You're the ministers. The ascended Christ gives you gifts so that you minister those gifts to other people to serve them. Is that how you think of yourself? So that you can play your part in his bigger story. Now, you could imagine it like this. Imagine an orchestra. If we're all led in to a big room, and there's a conductor of an orchestra, and he gives each one of us the gift of an instrument that's specifically tailored for us. And why does he do that? Why does he give us those gifts? Well, so that we play our part in the symphony. So that we join in playing our part, creating the symphony. Not so that we each go off to our own corners and play our own little solo to get glory for ourselves, but so that we play our part in the symphony. He gives us gifts. Why? To serve others. It's not about us. Now, I've been speaking to some people from church this week, and they've really helpfully pointed out to me a danger that we can face when we think about our gifts, especially if you've been a Christian for a while, because the gifts that Christ gives at different stages of life are different. And so it's very easy, as we go on in the Christian life, to look back at times that we had different gifts, maybe times we had more physical energy, or we had more time, or we had more whatever, to look back and think, I don't now have what I had then. I can't serve the way I served then, and therefore I don't have anything to offer. I can't serve like I used to. That's just not true. It may be different the way that we serve now than when we served in the past, but Christ gives you so much to bless others with, to bless the church with, your wisdom, your prayers, your ability to encourage others. Please don't underestimate how much you can serve others. Please don't underestimate your part in making this ministry happen. In joining in with the symphony that we're trying to create. Jesus gives us gifts to serve others. Is that how you think of yourself? Third point. What is all this for? He gives us gifts in order to build the body. Look down at verse 12 again. To equip his people for works of service, so the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Do you see the image there that it keeps talking about in verse 12, 13, 15, 16? The image is of a body with Jesus Christ at the head, and it's a body that is flourishing, that is growing, that is becoming strong and healthy. Now notice verse 13, this body, this community, what is it like? Well, it's united. It's not gossipy and backbiting. It's united. Notice halfway through verse 16, it's building itself up in love. It is not shallow. It's not self-seeking or superficial. It is growing up in God's love. But best of all, this body is all about Jesus, the head. Notice halfway through verse 13, it talks about knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining the fullness of Christ. Knowledge of the Son of God, the fullness of life that comes in Christ. Why do we do all this running around trying to serve each other? What's the point? It's not for us. It's not that we'd be a great community. It's because of Him. It's because He's glorious. We want to know Him. We want each other to see Him. We want Crowborough and this world to see Him. Why do we serve the body to see the body grow? Because it's His body. And therefore it lasts forever. Notice really interestingly, verse 14, though, there's this contrast that he draws. If we serve each other this way, then, verse 14, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Do you notice there the contrasting pictures from a strong, healthy body to these images of vulnerability? Do you see that? Infants. Think of an infant, helpless, exposed. Or the other one he gives is of a boat tossed back and forth by the waves. Images of being vulnerable. That's so easy as a Christian to feel vulnerable, to feel exposed or isolated like an infant separated from its parents. It's easy to be pushed around by the waves of culture or false teaching, even false teaching arising in our own denomination. So how do we avoid that then? How do we avoid that that vulnerability? How do we become strong and built up as a community rather than battered? How do we flourish rather than flounder? What is it we need to do to become this kind of community that we all want to be part of? Well, look at the end of verse 16. How does the body grow and build itself up? Look with me. How does it happen? As each part does its work. Do you see that? It's as we use our gifts to serve each other. It's so easy in a church this size to just assume things are going to happen. I don't really need to get involved. It's not true. Each part needs to do its work. And so here's the invitation to us this morning, and we'll finish by thinking about this. Here's the invitation to you and me this morning. Are you playing your part? Are you playing your part? Play your part. Play your part in God's epic story by using what Christ gives you to serve others. Now, as I look around the room, I'm aware that there are many, many people who know the joy of this already. There are many, many people who know both the pain and the joy of serving, playing their part in the symphony. And if that's you, I think this passage would encourage you. That's great. It's really worth it. Keep going. It might not feel like you're playing your part in God's epic story when you're making coffee or looking after a shouting child in the kids' groups or whatever it might be, but you really are. As you play your part, the body of Christ is built up. But I think I also want to say to others of us here in the room, don't be a passenger. Don't treat church like a bus. You know, a bus where you go and you sit and it takes you where you want to go and then you get off again. But you don't do anything for anybody else. See, the danger is, if you do that, verse 14, you remain an infant in your faith. We deny ourselves growth and we deny each other growth. If I'm going to grow in Christ, I need you. We need each other. So church isn't like a bus where I spectate. Can I invite you, if you've slipped into thinking that way, or you've slipped into treating church that way, can I just invite you, there is a much better way to be involved in church. Like an orchestra playing your part in the symphony. Tasting the joy and pain of serving and seeing the body grow. Now, I want to put in an important caveat at this point. Because there are obviously times in life where we just need to be carried. Again, think of the image of a body. There are times where, imagine I break my arm. There are times in life where the rest of my body just needs to carry the injured bits. Likewise, there are times in life where it is a struggle, things are difficult, something's gone wrong, whatever it might be, and we just need to be carried by our church family. And that is fine. That is expected. That is part of being a family together. Absolutely fine. God is a God of grace. That is absolutely fine. But I think I do want to say that's not the default setting. That's not the default setting. That once when we're through that, when we're recovered, that the default setting is that we are helping everyone else to grow by using our gifts. So how do you and I take our part in that bigger purpose, God's bigger purpose for the world? Well, Jesus gives us gifts, and we use those gifts for others to see the body of Christ grow. Now, in a few moments, Steve's going to come up and talk to us about this leaflet we've got and how we might use that to find out what our gifts are and get involved with serving. But that's my encouragement, that's the invitation to you and me this morning. Play your part. Play your part. Let me pray. Oh, great God and Father, we thank you and we praise you that your grace not only saves us, but it sweeps us up into a plan of eternal significance. You sweep us up to be part of your cosmic plan to unite people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would teach us at different stages of our life, you would teach us how we can use what you give to serve you. Amen.